Welcome to The Forest Garden, a podcast for gardeners who want to upgrade their landscapes into biodiverse food forest systems. In today's episode, we're talking about some of our favorite mail-order plant nurseries. Often on this podcast, we discuss rare varieties of perennial vegetables or tree crops that can be pretty hard to source. Hopefully, the nurseries we cover today can help you listeners actually get your hands on a few of the plants that have been covered in recent episodes. Obviously, there are many more specialty plant nurseries than we could cover in today's episode. And full disclosure, we did not get paid to cover any of the nurseries that we talk about in this episode. We just like them. But we really think you'll enjoy it regardless. So stick with us, and we hope you enjoy the episode. Hey there, everyone. Ben and I are back again, just the two of us. And today we're going to talk about some of the mail order nurseries, large or small, probably more on the smaller side, probably, at least for my recommendations, more on the smaller side.
Same.
Yeah, last year we did an episode on seeds where we talked about some of our favorite seed companies. So to follow it up, kind of a anniversary episode, we're going to talk about some of the plant nurseries that we've ordered from, that we've had good experiences with. And we kind of talked about this last time, too, where we talked about a few different plant nurseries.
This is one of my favorite parts of it's not my favorite part, but it's one of my favorite parts of growing things, is like the hunt for finding something you've been looking for a long time. You finally find a nursery that offers it. And you're like, this is amazing. And then you work with them. And it's such a great wintertime activity when you can't grow anything else. You're just like scheming about the next year.
And also just, I mean, so many of the plants that we're into in forest gardening are pretty hard to source. You know, it's not like you can just go to your local Home Depot. Well, actually, now that I say that, going to my local Home Depot during the summer or the early spring to like buy lumber or things that weren't garden related, I would like stumble upon a currant bush and I was like, what? Like they have, or they like, they have yastaberries? Like what is this? So it is becoming more mainstream, but you should always support small businesses and some of these smaller sort of quote unquote permaculture nurseries or, you know, regenerative tree crop nurseries rather than your local big box store. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the time it's just really hard to find these things. So when you stumble upon it, I guess, you know, there is like that moment of like, you know, I don't know, like Christmas morning, like jitters.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start off first. I'm going to give a shout out to Humble Abode Nursery in Western Mass in the Ashfield area. During the dog days of the pandemic, drove from my home in Central Connecticut on like an hour and a half, maybe almost 2 hour journey. And, you know, this is like the era when everything was no contact. You couldn't like just chat someone up and say, oh, how's it going, like can I get a tour or whatever. And so it was literally like a plant on the side of the road drop off situation. I think I got some pawpaw trees and some American persimmons and then a few different shrubs, and they were all really tiny. And when I showed up, I was like, oh man, in my head I thought these plants would be bigger. And at the time I just didn't recognize the value of a small like seedling versus, you know, buying a tree that's 6 feet tall but it is like root bound in the pot or whatever, that you have to mess with the roots to invigorate it to grow.
Can I tell you a quick story? Just a side tangent.
Yeah.
Like, I learned that lesson about the size of this when you order from a nursery. In Tennessee, a friend of mine was starting a community garden, like a school garden, is at the school he teaches. And he asked me, he's like, hey man, I just made a big order from Hidden Springs Nursery in Cookeville, Tennessee. All sorts of different things like gummies and Nanking cherries and different types of apple. And he's like, I'm going to need you to come out and come take a separate car because it's going to be a big order. And so we drive out like 2 hours to get to this place. We drive into this valley. It's a beautiful little like nursery tucked away in the woods. And they're like, oh, you must be Wade. That's my friend's name. And she hands him, like holding in like the palm of one hand in a bag, all of the seedlings, and hands it to him. And he's like, he's so confused. Yeah. He didn't realize that like this, what he was ordering was smaller trees.
Yeah, so exactly the same deal. I mean, I showed up and everything could fit in the size of like, you know, a brown paper bag that you could, you know, get your coffee in or whatever. And I didn't order hundreds of trees or anything. There was maybe less than a dozen, but still, I was a little surprised. You know, then when I brought them home and planted them, they did so much better than any of the other trees that I was sourcing that were like in pots or even just from standard nurseries. And like now with what I know, where if you just take a look at the root structure of those plants, which they're all bare root and they're, you know, wrapped up in some sort of paper towel or something like that, you can see the root fibers of like the young roots, like the white, you know, like, and just, you can tell how healthy those plants are from these smaller nurseries that you support with your time and your money. So yeah, shout out to Humble Abode. You can check out their website, and also they're very active on Instagram and social media. Like, the quality is really high. You're going to get a smaller plant that's going to grow much faster, and a really diverse array of stuff on offer. You know, you can get some pawpaws or some honeyberries or all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Humble Abode. Shout out.
So one I want to talk about is called England's Nut Orchard. This is one of the first nurseries I feel like I ever ordered from as far as trees for permaculture gardens. It's located in Kentucky, but they grow such a wide variety of fruit and nut trees that I feel like it's applicable to really anything on the East Coast, even up into New England. I feel like there's trees that would grow just because their collection's so extensive.
They're probably in, like, what, zone 6 or something, Kentucky?
Let's see. Zone 6. That would
I feel like anytime, and you know, the Ashfield one is like zone 5. Anytime you're ordering for somewhere that's in zone 5 or zone 6, it's like pretty across the board, you know. You can,
yeah, and it was interesting too, because, you know, they were growing, Cliff, the owner, was growing quite a number of different varieties of fruit trees and nut trees from warmer climates too for a while, because, you know, global warming, it's getting warmer, and so like things can grow that traditionally can't be grown. So he was even experimenting. He's got a really vast collection of hybrid persimmon trees, and so just really interesting mixes of things I'd never even heard of before, like Japanese and Americans and Koreans and different types of persimmons. And then apparently during the polar vortex, I think what was that, 2014, it wiped out a lot of that collection, but certain ones still remain. So it was a good filter. I mean, it's a tragedy, but it's a good filter to know, like,
which ones are going to be cold hardy.
So you can get some great recommendations on cold hardiness from this nursery. But they specialize in fruit and nut trees, and they have a really interesting collection of things that you can't really find in most nurseries. But also, just, they do focus more on cultivars, having really extensive cultivar collections of chestnuts, hazelnuts, pecans, even almonds on the fruit side. Pretty extensive as well. Of course, pawpaws, mayhaws, hawthorns, heirloom apples. Okay, this is one I'm embarrassed to say I've never heard of this fruit before. Azarole? But that's hawthorn, right?
It is hawthorn. Curtagus azarolus, species of hawthorn known by the common name azarole.
I didn't tell you, I tried a big fruited hawthorn variety in Mexico when I was there. I don't know, maybe it's similar to this one.
This one looks like it has much smaller, I mean, I don't know, this is new. I mean, there's so many different types of haws out there. Definitely not my specialty either.
No, me neither. So many haws. Then also shipovas and pear ash hybrids, like some really interesting stuff. But the cool thing about England's Nut Orchard is the name of the company. Nuttrees.net is how you find. They also sell a lot of their scion wood. So you can peruse the list of the cultivars that they have. And I think most of the cultivars, they're available to get scion wood from. And I think it's just like $7 for like a stick. And I don't think there's a minimum order. So if you just want to like jumpstart your own farm with a bunch of scion wood, and they even sell the rootstock. So I bet it'd be cheaper to just buy rootstock from them or from like the Forest Service, and then just graft on what they're providing. And I think the rootstock that they sell is more, you grow it because there's a higher percent chance that it's going to be something good. Like, they sell rootstock from known cultivars that are high performers. I mean, things like hickories and heartnuts and pawpaws. So I think the rootstock they sell are a little bit more improved than just like wild rootstock that's going to be good, but it's not necessarily, if you grew it out for production, it probably wouldn't perform. But yeah, Cliff is available he's very available to answer questions and likes talking about the stuff. He's very active on Facebook. You can connect with him there. Yeah, really helpful and really knowledgeable for the world of fruit and nuts. The website's good too, that there's a zone chart and you can find out where you can grow and where you can't grow these things. And they also sell seeds for most of the things that they grow. Because, I mean, it's kind of like where I want to be in like 30 years or something. Like,
out of your massive collection.
Yeah, just a giant collection. And hey, someone wants seeds, I go in my fridge and get seeds. Hey, someone wants cyan, I'll go out and
winter. You have a fridge that's like the size of a, you have like a walk-in freezer.
Industrial size fridge, yeah.
Yeah, with all of your, like, I can see it now. All right, so my next recommendation, I'm gonna keep it small. I have ordered from this business before and was very pleased with the delivery and the quality of the plants I ordered. Ozark Mountain Jewel, which is based in the Ozarks. Fantastic little small permaculture nursery or specialty plant nursery. I believe that they were funded by the USDA for like a squash land race kind of thing. I saw them posting about that a while back. I'd like to learn more about that. What I ordered from them was a really exciting variety of elderberry called Marge. And I don't know why it's called Marge, but in my head I thought of it, or I immediately thought of the character from Harry Potter, who's the aunt that gets blown up really big. Because the berries of Marge are, like, huge compared, like, if you look at the Marge berries compared to, like, other cultivars like Wildwood or Barn or York, they're just, like, these fat, big berries that I was just like, what? So I got really excited and I ordered a few plants. And once again, they came, the root system looked awesome, they were bare root, the shipping was affordable, although shipping prices have gone up like crazy in the past couple of years, which is hurting all sorts of people who are, just, you know, in the business of selling rare plants. But yeah, I don't know, the plants were really small and then they put on like several feet of growth in a year. I planted them in a very, very wet area in like a heavy clay soil that is prone to flooding, and they are super happy. They were planted, I believe, last fall. You know, we had a drought all summer long, no watering, nothing, and they thrived, so.
And they fruited?
No, I mean, these are, you know, very, very small plants. I expect they will be fruiting soon. No irrigation, no special TLC, just kind of stuck up on the ground and forgot about them, and they look great. So anytime that happens, I you know, it's a double thumbs up to the plant nursery that grew them out before sending them to me.
That's awesome. I haven't seen like the larger fruited elderberries before.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unusual, right? Because with elderberry, you just, you know, you assume that they all kind of look the same, but
yeah, I'm still waiting for a large fruited sweet elderberry. Which might be waiting a while. Yeah, so this is another one that I ordered early on in my perennial vegetable career. They don't have a huge selection, but, you know, it's reliable and it's a small independent nursery. It's called Norton Naturals. And I think Eric Tonesmeyer turned me on to them years and years ago. They don't have huge inventories, but they have a really interesting selection of things that, I mean, maybe some of the nurseries that you've gone to and that we've highlighted in the show now carry them, but for a while they were the only one to carry things like groundnuts, at least for...
And very affordably. And
yeah.
Also, it's in Canada, so, like, you know, the exchange rate there, if you can get groundnut for $2 Canadian, what that's like, it's like a dollar.
Yeah, my change. First food forest I made, I bought some from them, and I just, they look like a string of pearls almost, and so I pulled apart the bulbs, planted them, like, spread them all around my food forest, and sure enough they started to sprout and they created vines, and then anywhere I went in my food forest I could just stick my hand in the mulch and just pull out a string of pearls of groundnut and just walk inside, and they're delicious, they're really starchy, but anyway I won't go into that, but yeah, they carry natives and mostly a lot of root crops. They do daylilies and Chinese artichoke, which is one I really like because you can eat it fresh and just like kind of pop into your mouth and it's like crunchy and sweet. They do Egyptian walking onions.
I've never heard of grass nut. That one's a new one for me.
Grass nut.
Tritalea ayaka.
But they've added some new ones since they didn't used to have that because I would have definitely ordered that if I saw that.
They also have Wapato, which is pretty hard to find, which is a Sagittaria
latifolia. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've grown that one year. I think from them, actually.
That's one that you can grow in almost any, like, you can plant it in, it's an aquatic plant, so you can plant it directly in water, but then you can also stick it in, like, heavy, wet meadow clay soil.
And the bulbs are beautiful. Like, they're, like, kind of grayish. Yeah. They have a stripe of gray and tan.
Yeah, little pointy potatoes.
Yeah, so definitely worth a visit because they have things that, again, I've seen most of these for sale in other nurseries, but not like in one easy to order from place. And especially if you're in Canada, you'll get them quick. Prairie turnip, yeah, another one I've always wanted to grow. Petiolum alum esculentum.
It seems like the root vegetable spot. Really.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Like prairie turnip. Pedomelum escalentum.
Yeah, there's that's an interesting one. I think that one can grow in really dry environments too, I believe. Dry, cold climates, and it's supposed to be delicious.
Interesting. Yeah, there's several different sunchokes on here. And I will say with ordering sunchokes that there are improved ones or ones that taste better than others. Another thing you can do is if you go to just like a health food store that has sunchokes, and you can just buy them and taste them. And if they taste good, bring those ones home and grow them. Because, you know, sometimes when you order from online nurseries, the sunchokes that you get might not be like the most delicious sunchoke ever. It's just one that they had in their
salad. Yeah, you want to get a name variety of that. Yeah. But some of this other stuff is more unknown, and there's probably no grass nut cultivars out there.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Yeah, and also, I mean, just really, you know, really affordable. So, okay, cool. So moving on, Perfect Circle Farm, based in central Vermont. The place to go if you are a plant nerd looking for really hard to find nut cultivars and also just tree crops in general. Buzz Ferver, who once again is someone who we've talked about in this podcast before, may even end up being a guest in the near future, is somebody who is, I mean, his name is Buzz Ferver, you know, like this guy's got the buzz and the fervor for tree crops. He is fervacious for he's got the buzz. But no matter what you're looking for, if you're looking for a persimmon variety that no longer exists in cultivation, but like there's one tree that's growing somewhere on the East Coast, Buzz knows about it. He's been to it, and he like collected Scion wood.
But he's also like very up on the newest things too. Like when I was working at the center, he wanted to know like what the new varieties we have are for walnuts and chestnuts and when they're going to be released and can he grow them sooner. So yeah, he's got the best of the old and the new.
He's in the know. And even, I mean, like sea berries, I was at the, last year, maybe 2 years ago, I was in Stowe, Vermont at their, farmer's market. A really great farmer's market, honestly. First time I've ever been at a farmer's market where you could just buy clones of like hemp. Like they just sold for, nice. For $4. You could just buy a clone and bring it home, which I was like, what? Like you can do this? This is legal. But also I bumped into some folks who are selling like sea berry tinctures and sea berry products.
It's becoming big.
And I was like, where are you sourcing enough sea berry to be able to do this? And they were just like, oh, Perfect Circle Farm, Buzz Ferver. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that's a tangent. But really worth checking out the website, perfectcircle.farm. Buzz is really into collecting seedlings from known cultivars. And the idea there is, you know, like some of the chestnut orchards in Connecticut that we've talked about on this podcast, Buzz will go down to collect some of the seeds. And then every seed is going to grow, a new tree with different genetics, and it's going to produce different nuts that taste different from the mother tree. But there's some excitement there, and the places that Buzz is going to collect these like seedlings of known cultivars have these really amazing pollen clouds, where it's just like, this is the only place I feel like you can go to that's just like a genetic repository in a mail order nursery. I'll check the website, and there's a lot of stuff that's sold out. And I think that has a lot to do just with the people who are in the know and are really, really into this stuff. When it pops up on the website, they just order as many as they can. And then there weren't, like, it's not like there were thousands of these seedlings to go from in the first place. So, you know, the supply is kind of undulating, peaks and valleys. And that's the case for a lot of the stuff that we're recommending. It's very possible that you'll check some of these websites and stuff will be sold out. But you just gotta bookmark that website and wait till the spring.
And he's selling black locusts, and I think maybe honey locust too. Is he still selling honey locust?
I'm not sure.
He was doing honey locust cultivar Scion for a while, which I was like, I don't see that much at all.
That is unusual.
I don't see it on the, or maybe on Scion and cuttings. Scion
and cuttings, yeah. Hickory,
no, maybe not this year. I don't know. He has in previous years.
Black walnut Scion wood. Yeah, it's just kind of a ever-changing offerings. And right now when we're looking at it, it says that orders are not currently being accepted, but for all of these different websites, it's just worth checking at different times of the year, you know, fall, winter, spring.
Yeah, for Scion, you want to definitely get it in by, like, you want to check the nurseries and their availability by December, January, maybe at the latest.
Well, it also depends on where the people are based. I mean, if it's somewhere in California, they could be offering
stuff.
That's
different, yep.
Yeah. But so far, it's all been, like, temperate climate that we've been covering.
Yeah, but I mean, specifically in temperate, that's when people are out collecting Scion wood in like December and January. And so I made the mistake of trying to order like pawpaw Scion in, you know, when I was doing my seedling order, like, so in like April. And then they're just like, sorry, we already collected and sold everything 3 months ago. Like, all right.
Who are you guy trying to order pawpaw Scion at this time of year?
So, you know, I had to get on it sooner the following year. So don't make my mistake.
On the topic of Scion, the last nursery I have to offer, I ordered a bunch of Scion and cuttings from this nursery with very good success, I will say, especially with the things that are like really easy to propagate, like stuff that was like ribes, you know, like currants and gooseberries. Fruitwood Nursery, they're in California in the northwestern Humboldt County zone. And I really have to say, I mean, if you check out their website, fruitwoodnursery.com, like instantly you'll just be like, whoa, this looks like food forest utopia. The sheer quantity of cultivars and varieties that they have for so many different types of plants. You can, I mean, it would cost you a pretty penny probably, but you could, from this one website, like establish your food forest, assuming that you have the amount of time to root and propagate all of the cuttings that you order, which, you know, is a challenge in and of itself. But I put in a bunch of orders for like every different variety of currants that I could get a hold on. And they just had, you know, all these different named varieties. It wasn't just like currants, like check the box. It was like Kenamaki Red and Minnesota 52 and all these different, like just down the list of white currants and pink currants and red currants and black currants. And I had to like pull out my copy of Uncommon Fruits for Every Garden and kind of like check on some of the cultivars that he recommended. And I will say, like, man, I got some of the pink, like I think my favorites are the pink currants or the white, like the white and pink varieties. The red and the black currants, maybe it's just the ones I got. I mean, they were they're some of the like more choice cultivars, but they have like a little bit more tartness.
I was going to say, that's what I've heard in my experience.
They're just like a little bit more, like eating them out of hand isn't as much of a, I mean, I will say like I'm able to eat the red ones out of hand.
The white ones are better though, out of hand?
The white and pink ones, it's like you don't need to process them or anything. You can totally just strip them off. Because the way that they grow, they like dangle down. Mm-hmm. They're like hanging down. And you just kind of pull them all into your palm and stuff them in your mouth. And oh my God, they are so good.
I don't think I've had really good pink.
You got to come visit in like, I don't know, June. That's another thing is that with the ribes, with currants and gooseberries and yastaberries, you know, the fruiting windows, you can literally have stuff that starts fruiting in like almost late May. I mean, it also depends on where you are, but let's say in like zone 6, you know, early June or late May, all the way until like almost September. It's pretty wild, like how all these different named varieties like have different fruiting windows. And then again, like, you know, not everyone is delicious, but currant wine is like one of my favorite. Like, I love currant wine.
Wait, where do you get currant wine from?
It's not that hard to find. Oh, most recently I had some that was homemade by a friend who's just into brewing, but
it's like, it's not that hard to find. Just talk to your friend who's into current brewing.
No, you can't. Like in the Northeast, it's becoming more popular. And so if you go to like wineries in Vermont or Maine, it's pretty common for there to be like one currant wine on the menu, along with like that one ice wine.
Well, I want to try currant wine.
I'm amazed you've never had it's. Like, there's nothing better than it. It
must be a Northeast thing, because, I mean, I've never seen it in, I mean, not in Tennessee. In Missouri, we had elderberry wine, which was really cool. But, yeah, I haven't seen it anywhere else.
Weird. Okay, well, I guess I'm just spoiled. But, yeah, Fruitwood Nursery, definitely worth checking out. You can order, you know, they sell rootstocks, they have cacti, succulents, leguminous trees, for those of us who are really into the, you know, the permy side of things. Perennial vegetables, they sell herbs, even stuff like grafting supplies, but they also sell like starter plugs of rooted cuttings, which is like that. So I ordered things that were really easy to root myself, but the stuff that I had a little bit more like, do I really have the time and the perfect scenario for this to root? You can order a rooted cutting that just comes in a little plug and then stick that in the ground in early spring. I think you can select the time that they send these things to you, and you can say, hey, I want to get all of this for, like, you know, April 30th, but I want you to, and then I'll put in a separate order for Scion or whatever, and I'll receive that now. Yeah, I don't know. I will say that, like, most of the stuff that I planted in that first round of trying to just get as much stuff in the ground as possible. I got from, and a lot of it survived, you know. It was like really high quality scion, high quality cuttings, and stuff that rooted well, and yeah, I can't recommend them enough.
Wow, I think we gave our listeners quite a lot to chew on.
Yeah.
And so we'll put all the links in the show notes and the podcast notes, so you can just scroll on down and click on ones that you remember were interesting or you find valuable, and 'tis the season to start shopping. So have fun and enjoy it.
It's not consumerism if it's plants.
Yeah, it's true. It doesn't count.
It doesn't count. You can... It's not binge shopping if it's scion.